Don't eat M&Ms right before you need to record 3 podcasts to accommodate your schedule. I am all stuffed up and sneezing now, but that's not why you listen. You want to hear the late night host joke about President Biden negotiating with the Koreans. Jimmy Kimmel said, President Biden has been trying to reach out to North Korea for weeks. Kim Jong-un isn't having it. I don't know if he's tried sending a love letter. I hear Kim is really into those. Fallon. At first, I thought the reason for lack of response might be Kim Jong-un uses a fax machine. But then I remembered Biden does, too. Kimmel, she warned the Biden administration that if it wants peace, it had better, quote, refrain from causing a stink at its first step. We take this opportunity to warn the new U.S. administration trying hard to give off powder smell in our land. I'm sure it sounds more threatening in Korean. Gordon, you don't know how to ask the no malarkey guy to not cause a stink. He's got it covered. Gordon, again, that's not how you talk to another country, is it? That's how you talk to a spouse right before you go to a dinner party. You're like, please avoid talking to Hank about politics. I don't want you causing a stink. Fallon, I also like that Kim Jong-un had his sister deliver the message. It's like the North Korean version of, I heard a noise in America, go check it out. Kimmel, by the way, it's rare that a dictator sibling speaks out. I don't remember reading about any stern warnings from Lois Hitler. That's good. Kimmel, it's funny because North Korea thinks these statements they make are sick burns, but they always sound like riddles instead. It's like, if you want to cross the bridge, be wise not to anger us like the cat who swallowed mushrooms unwashed. Fallon, yeah, nice try, North Korea, but we're American. We haven't slept well for the past 5 years. These M&Ms are killing me. All right, I have been waiting and waiting to tell you about Nate Bargatze. Now, in my world, I've only been waiting like 15 hours to tell you about Nate Bargatze, but in your world, it's been like 2.5 days because I watched Nate Bargatze's new special Thursday night, but I had already recorded Friday and Saturday's podcast, so this is my first opportunity to tell you about it. Nate Bargatze's new special on Netflix, great. Great, great, great. I can't stop thinking about it. It is fantastic. It has a chance of being special of the year, and I realize I'm saying that on March 21st. Actually, March 19th. He taped this on Friday. This thing is fantastic. The set looks really good. If I didn't know about COVID, I don't know if I would have noticed. I might have noticed that he was taping it outside, but it looks normal enough. The crowd sounds a little thin, more like a comedy club than one of those big Netflix specials that we're all used to, but it's not bad. I want to point out that Nate works clean, which is great. And I laughed out loud many, many times. Now, why does that matter to anybody? It really doesn't. But I've talked in the past about how I have what I call Emperor of Rome syndrome. Now, what this is, and I see a lot of actual comedians have this, you don't laugh. You hear a joke and you go, oh, that's really funny. And you'll see comedians hang out in the back of clubs do that a lot. Somebody says something hilarious, the audience busts up, and the comics and the radio program director are like, yeah, that was really good. Oh, great callback. Wow, that's so well written, but not actually laugh. Now, the reason I have that is because when I worked at Sirius, I listened to comedy radio every day, all day, 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, plus whatever I did in the car or on the weekend. And all I did was listen to stand-up comedy. So over time, you just get, like anything else, worn down to it. And like my brain would register like, yeah, that's really funny. But I stopped laughing because I just listened to so much comedy. And I feel like the Emperor of Rome. You get up on stage, you do a hilarious thing. And I go, yes, very, very funny. You may continue to live. Anyway, Nate Bargatze's new special, really good chance of being the special of the year. And it's only March 21st or the 19th in my world. So go watch that like right now. Nate spoke with Vanity Fair. And these M&Ms are absolutely murdering me. It's not like I don't eat M&Ms like in handfuls all day long, every day. I don't know why this particular batch is murdering me. Nate says he's the first person to tell you he's a few beers short of a six pack. I'm the second person to tell you that. I just admitted to munching on M&Ms all day. Nate told Vanity Fair about the special. I'm not a big topical guy. I'm not trying to offend anybody. There's enough of that. If you want that, you can get it. Politics has gotten into everything, comedians, movies, television, so why do you need me to do it? I don't have a college education. I almost didn't graduate high school. What on earth can I tell you? You should never vote for something I tell you. I'm not smart enough. So way back on Thursday afternoon, Apple waited until like 5 minutes after I recorded Friday and Saturday's podcast to announce the following. Ordered straight to series, untitled project starring Maya Rudolph as Molly. A woman whose seemingly perfect life is upended when her husband leaves her with nothing except $87 billion. So this is some sort of comedy coming to Apple TV Plus. Maya Rudolph, all right. Maya also hosts Saturday Night Live this week on Saturday, so you can check her out. Tonight on your TV, it's the 700th episode of The Simpsons. I recently shared with you guys that I, like many people, haven't caught up with all 699 episodes of The Simpsons. But when I'm at the nursing home, I hope somebody puts on FXX and I can catch up. Maybe I could watch all 84 seasons by then. Who knows? But from Variety, Fox has renewed the show for another two seasons, so there will be at least 34 seasons and a grand total of 757 episodes at least. Executive producer Al Jean says, we're definitely going to do 757. I wouldn't say that's the end, but I don't know how much further we can go. He laughs at the idea of making it to an even 1,000 episodes, noting it would take another 12 years to pull off that feat, but it's not out of the question. And Gene notes that every classic series gets rebooted, including Beavis and Butthead, so he doesn't think The Simpsons would stay dormant for long even if they stopped. As soon as they cancel us, they'll reboot us. I'm confident after I'm gone, there'll be some sort of Simpsons coming. It's too ubiquitous to think it'll just disappear. Homer is in his late 30s, which means in 2021, this Homer would have been a child when The Simpsons debuted in 1990. We have a joke that deals with that in the 700th episode. My response would be, if you kept The Simpsons frozen in 1990, it would be a little bit like that show The Goldbergs. It would be a retro show. They wouldn't have cell phones. It would be a different life. I don't think that people watching it would relate to them as a family that lives in the present. So I don't know what you do except to have them deal with current issues and stuff that today's families and kids encounter. Episode 700 is called Manger Things. It's a flashback episode revealing another wrinkle in the Homer and Flanders relationship, and also visiting a room in the Simpsons house that viewers have never seen. Matt Groening wanted to do an episode featuring that little room above the garage that you see every week, but we've never been in. That features big in this episode. Spoilers, I just ruined The Simpsons for you. What a horrible host I am. More spoilers coming, and I thought it would be great if Homer and Flanders had sort of a secret bond that we never knew about, which is revealed in an episode that dates 6 years before the present. We're careful not to say what year that is. And we do have a flashback where Maggie Roswell returns as Maude Flanders, and you see Maude and Ned and Homer and Marge before Maggie was born. I always love doing Flanders episodes. Harry doing the voice is so great, says Al Jean. The episode also takes place during Christmas. That's a nod to the first episode of The Simpsons being a Christmas special. But we also thought that this year the world could use two Christmases. More spoilers. There's a line where Marge goes, you know, this happened 6 years in the past, and Homer goes, thank God it's not the horrible present. We decided, except for this little Halloween segment, we weren't going to have everybody in every episode wearing a mask and distancing, because I think at 5 years, that's not going to look like what people are doing. It's going to look like a sad operation. We wound up doing more future or flashback shows just because there's no point in having them deal with the pandemic. From the AV Club, The Simpsons have already released the couch gag for the episode. Even more spoilers. I hope you weren't like basing your life around watching this tonight and I just ruined it 9 times. More spoilers. The short starts with Homer's head looking nice and normal before his facial features gradually slough off and transform into Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie before circling around his head. Then his last remaining eye pops into a smaller version of himself and the head changes into the familiar living room set. The new episode of The Simpsons, tonight. Hey, remember yesterday when I killed that Nikki Glaser press release? Nikki Glaser spoke to the iHeart blog. They asked, what drew you to stand-up comedy? Nikki Glaser said, since I can remember, I always loved comedy and I knew I wanted to work on TV, but I never considered stand-up as a career until later in life. I wanted to be Jennifer Aniston. Now that I'm 36 and like myself, I want to stay in the business so I can have fun, make people laugh and think, and make money to get my parents into a great nursing home someday and be friends with Conan O'Brien. iHeartBlog said, can you give us a sneak peek into what we can expect to hear on your new podcast? Now, before I read the answer, let's do this from memory from yesterday. You know, it's like relationships and dating advice and news and current events and hair care and I don't know. She says, my new podcast is 100% a show that I want to make. Unfocused. No part of it's ever going to feel like work for me. I've done a ton of shows. It's always been that way in the past. Even when I created those shows, when I'm tired of doing anything that's trying to please people or give people what I think they want to hear from me. I just want to please myself. Okay, we got it. You're just doing this for yourself. Next sentence. If I'm actually having fun on air. Okay, we got it. Next sentence. I never want to dread work. Okay, we got it. I know this is a fantasy for most people to love every part of your child. Okay, I got it. That's 5 sentences in a row. All right, you're doing what you want. So the Nikki Glaser podcast, I don't hate Nikki Glaser. I'm just, this press release thing has set me off. But like, I'm not putting her in the category of like, you know, people that pantomime to Donald Trump videos on TikTok. This is not that. This is just the press release really I read and I'm like, what? So the Nikki Glaser podcast will be from my apartment most days with my best friend slash roommate slash opener, Andrew Collin, and my longtime super producer, Noah. Oh, I know Noah. I worked with her. No way. Actually know her. We will also have celebrity and non-celebrity guests who I actually want to talk to. It's going to be fast-paced, funny, real, and current. Doing it daily is a dream, too. I'm such a fan of morning radio shows and late-night talk shows because you can count on them every day, much like daily comedy news. And every day, you feel like you're friends with the host, or at least I do. But I also got into showbiz to meet Dave Matthews, so maybe I'm off here, but I do want my listeners to feel like they're our friends. iHeartBlog said, what are your best Monday tips to help kick off the week the right way? Nikki Glazer said, Mondays have a bad rap because they're so far from the weekend, which represents your only window to do things you greatly enjoy. So maybe try to save an indulgent habit for just a weeknight so you can look forward to a Wednesday for a change. Yes, that's what I do. Remember that guy, Glenn? Not the Glenn that got an agent because I was using him in bits. Not that guy. The other Glenn, the one I go on road trips. I play volleyball on Wednesdays with Glenn, and then we go to the local establishment, which closed down, but I won't bore you with those details because we need something to do in the middle of the week. So I totally feel you, Nikki Glazer. Nikki Glazer says, you don't have to get wasted or watch TV all night, which could mess up your sleep schedule. Then she suggests, maybe you only let yourself masturbate on Wednesdays. That's an idea. Not going there. I'm just spitballing here. Spitballing is actually a very underrated porn category. Check it out for yourself next Wednesday. Good joke. The Nikki Glazer podcast, it starts tomorrow. Are you excited? These M&Ms are killing me, and I have to still finish this podcast and do two more today. But it's Sunday, which means it's Matt Berry Sunday. Shout out to my new bestie, Anne Victoria Clark. We are Instagram friends. She's the nice lady that writes all these Matt Berry things on Vulture. And she must have noticed that I hashtagged Matt Berry on the Instagram at Daily Comedy News, and we're friends. And I'm going to have her on one of these weeks for Matt Berry Sunday to talk Matt Berry. Looking forward to that, Anne. I just have to first actually think of some questions as I wrote to her on the side. I don't want to have her on and be like, so Matt Berry, he's cool, right? Chris Farley callback. If you're still like, who's Matt Berry? He's the British vampire in What We Do in the Shadows. That guy. Vulture had written about Matt Berry being a judge and pointed out this would not be Matt Berry's first time playing a judge. In a 2019 interview in The Guardian, apparently Matt Berry talked about playing a judge in one of his first jobs at the London Dungeon, which is a tourist attraction where actors perform notorious scary roles from London's history. That sounds awful if you're an actor. Matt Berry said, you'd be the judge in the morning and Jack the Ripper in the afternoon. It wasn't rata, but you learned how to get to the story right, not to fluff your lines. Vulture says, in a perfect world, Matt Berry would get cast in a very specific judge role as one of the judges on the Robert and Michelle King show, The Good Fight. It's the best, most fun, most Berry-friendly take on what a judge should be in the legal drama, because judges on The Good Fight are mercurial, strange, often infuriating figures full of bizarre quirks, but Berry would also be a true delight in even the most straight-laced cop show, a beacon of magnetic individuality in an otherwise staid setting. Can we get Dennis Franz to do like one more season of NYPD Blue? I don't know why Andy Sipowicz at like 80 years old would be a detective, but I'd love to see him arguing with Matt Berry. Can we make that happen? Vulture's thinking the same way, saying the gold standard is a show like Law & Order SVU, where the judge is often the personality of last resort, the final opportunity for someone to weigh in on a case before the last dun-dun chimes. That is a great idea, and that is your comedy news for today. I still have the sniffles from the M&Ms. What is going on? Follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. See you tomorrow. I got to record two more.